Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And that's Dennis Howland. He's one of the employee owners at Tab. And he comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And we have four lines wide open for you guys, so you must have no comments, questions, or concerns, which is great. 860-522-9842. Every now and again, we do solve all the IT issues, period. We just solve them all. And it's nice. You know, even at Tab, occasionally, it's quiet.
Occasionally, the board goes green.
Green. Yeah. But, you know, that's fine. You know, we can deal with that. We got plenty of technology news to talk about. We can talk about DOJ going after Apple. We can do whatever you like. But there's an article that we did see, and it's kind of been a lot of places recently as far as this information. So you're going to bring it up, Dennis?
Yeah. The article talks about the problem of e-waste.
Right.
And it's getting worse than it ever has been before. And, you know, you can recycle electronics.
Yeah.
But
and upcycle it.
And upcycle too. Yeah. Right. But here's the problem. The amount of e-waste that is being generated is in excess of what can be recycled.
Mm-hmm.
The infrastructure to do the recycling just can't keep up. And a lot of the problem is we have planned obsolescence.
Yes.
Forced obsolescence. And, you know, the issue of just not being able to do simple repairs on things.
Right.
You know, if you've got an iPhone and your screen cracks, I know there are places you can go to have it done, but it's not very common.
Right.
And let's face it, Apple doesn't want you doing that.
Right. They want you to chuck it and buy another one.
Right. And that's why they make it so hard to repair their stuff.
Right.
Well, there's a lot of that going on. It's not just Apple that does it. All the manufacturers are doing it to some extent.
Yep.
And that's what's causing this. If stuff is more repairable, we wouldn't be throwing away so much stuff. And if things were supported for a longer time than they are, we wouldn't be chucking all that stuff either.
And we had Batterygate with Apple, right, where they were throttling their own product, slowing it down, supposedly saving it to work better for you, which, of course, it wasn't.
No.
And they got nabbed for that. We've talked about it numerous times. And so that also then forces you to consider a new phone, right? Rather than fixing it, you just get a new one. Why? Because the carriers are practically going to give you one for free. And all these carriers are making so much money on your cell usage that they're chucking new phones at you like crazy as well. You know, with computers, in our business, we like to get a good 6 years out of a machine in a business world. So servers and workstations. Now, the industry would want us to change our client systems every 3 years.
3 years, yeah.
But we double that. We try to double the amount of usage for our customers so that they don't have to spend all their money buying new systems and they can go and do the thing they were in business to do, whatever that is.
Right.
Make widgets, help people with health, help them with their finances, not buy new computers. But now, of course, again, this whole thing with Microsoft, too, you got your new Windows 11, but your perfectly good machine that is running Windows 10 may not run Windows 11.
Right.
And it's on purpose, guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, there's TPM modules and extra security that come with this that if your system doesn't have it, it may not that won't work. But is that important? In some cases, it's not. You know, you could be able to use the machine. So we have a big problem. We work with another company that does our e-cycling event in the fall, Environmental Office Systems, and they really work hard on upcycling. So their job, they're going to take that e-waste, and if it's able to be reused, they'll try to upcycle it and then sell it back into the third world, they're going to be okay with something that may not be as current as you and I want, that shiny new, little faster, little thinner, little lighter Apple phone or whatever it might be. So they've been doing that type of thing for decades.
Right.
So lots of costs going on here, lots of e-waste being chucked, and we're part of the problem. So if you want to fix this, you need some laws that say you can fix things.
Right. Right to repair. As a matter of fact, but the subtitle of this particular article that I've got is Right to Repair Should Be Obligation to Repair,
right,
if we want to avoid drowning in trashed electronics.
Right. So we're not seeing that in the DOJ lawsuit against Apple at all. I don't think there's anything mentioning the inability for folks to repair products. It all has to do with the ecosystem itself.
Oh.
I don't think there's anything that I saw in there about why they're going after them is
so
the inability to repair.
So they're not going after them for things that maybe they could and should go after them for.
Right. So we'll put this link up here for you, but you're probably not surprised. The other thing too is if you have e-waste, and we have this thing we do in the fall with EOSI to help you drop off your e-waste. We ourselves as a business do that for our customers. We try to get lots of companies just leave the machines in a closet, right? And it builds up the boneyard of old computers, right? We make sure we can help them clean that out of their offices and get it responsibly recycled or upcycled.
Yeah, securely too.
Correct, because we'll take care of making sure the data
is gone. Yeah.
So more of us have to do this, and more of us have to find ways to not just keep chucking it for the sake of chucking it. It's in every product. Firewall, switches, it's all the same way.
Everything.
Oh, there's not under support anymore. Okay. What does that mean? Well, we're not fixing, we're not updating it anymore. Well, why? Well, because we want you to buy another one. Oh, I see. So.
And you even have companies like Cisco that will sell you today a router.
That is end of life.
And it's end of life tomorrow.
Right.
So you can buy it brand new thinking that you're going to have a few years with it.
Right.
You're not.
Yeah, it's a problem. It's a problem. So we'll put the link up there for you guys. All right, let's get to your calls. We're going to go to Karen in Windsor with a sad story, I think. What's going on, Karen?
Hi there. I had an interesting situation in the middle of February. I signed into my bank's website, and my checking account was missing. My savings account was there. The checking account was missing. So I called the bank, and it turns out that they had detected fraudulent activity and disabled the account. Therefore, they could see it. I could not.
Okay. That's a nice thing.
Yes, it was. But I didn't know this. I had to call them. I didn't get any notification from them whatsoever.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I found out that one check in particular did not reach its destination, which was a P.O. box. So that check was the reason the account was flagged as fraudulent activity.
Right. Yep.
I didn't lose any money.
Yep.
All of the other checks had already gone through.
Yep.
And nothing else happened. But how do they the crooks, whoever they are, how do they do that? How would the bank have detected fraudulent activity? And I did ask them, and they couldn't quite explain it.
Well, yeah, we'll try to. I'll try to myself. It's called check washing. It's a very old thing where the bad guys they're literally reaching into, believe it or not, the blue mailboxes that we always thought were super secure and safe. Somehow the bad guys are busting into those blue mailboxes that from the post office, going through the mail. They take out your check. They say, okay, this was written in an ink that I can wash, and they wash off the ink as far as who you're paying and make the payment to whoever they want to, and then they change the amount. And then the bank accepts it, wherever it might be. And so they get their money. And then eventually the bank goes back and says, hey, wait a minute, this isn't correct. And because depending on how your bank, how you write the check or how you deal with the check, some of them have what are called positive pay, where you have to confirm. A lot of businesses get ripped off this way without having positive pay, where you kind of tell the bank what your checks are going to be written for, and they confirm it when it gets to the other side. And most people don't have that as private citizens. So they detected it as fraudulent, probably from maybe where the bank that they were using was cashing it. I don't know how they detected it as fraudulent, but you're exactly right on the communication from these banks. It is awful. Awful.
Automation is not their biggest asset in their new operating system.
But you make any transfer electronically, you do anything within the accounting system, you get emails up the wazoo about it. Hey, congratulations, you did a deposit. Hey, you made a transfer, yada, yada, yada. But they don't tell you they suspended your account? That's like news they didn't want to talk to you about? That's just crazy to me. But it's common everywhere. Yeah,
it was bizarre. So anyway, 3 weeks later, I had to do most of the work. They had to just, you know, do what they do to reestablish a new account.
Right.
But so then I'm looking at something like a LifeLock or another product called Aura. I'm kind of leaning toward Aura, but what do you think about those products? And are they all the same, or are there some that are slightly better?
You know, I've never used one of those tools, and I don't think you need to in this case either, because the bad guys, all they did was do something very simple. They just removed the ink off your check, and it's an easy thing to do. So you don't need to go and spend the money on these types of things if you don't want to. I don't have any opinion on them. Dennis, have you done anything with them?
I haven't, and I don't really know anybody that has, so yeah. I don't have any visibility into the experience.
And so many people are given quote unquote free credit monitoring, yada yada yada. I haven't heard anybody come to me and say, "Hey, I've got this great credit monitoring system, and it did this great thing for me." I've never heard that once in my entire life. So I would tell you that what you want to change, though, is how you write checks. You got to use something called gel ink, I guess I have heard.
I've heard that's washing resistant.
More permanent style ink, so that when you do write a check and somebody go and you do put it in that blue post office box there that you thought was secure, the bad guys can't do much with it. But I don't think you
I learned about the big blue boxes I don't do that anymore. Usually I'll drop it off at a UPS or a FedEx, or just if it's outside in my mailbox, I tend to watch for the mailman.
Yeah, people are doing that too.
Yeah, they have a distinguished, the car or the little truck they use has a loud muffler.
Those mufflers do. Yeah, you know the mufflers. Yeah, you're definitely right. You know the post guy's coming with his muffler. That's exactly right. But yeah, so you got to wait for that, because the bad guys will literally go into people's mailboxes now too. So that's all that happened there. But I'm sorry about the communication with your bank. It's just back to the whole customer no service, as Clark Howard used to say. Why would you not tell me about the most important aspect of the thing I have with you is in my account? You wouldn't tell me. You tell me about a transfer. You'll tell me about deposits. You'll tell me about whatever, but you won't tell me you closed my account? I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, but I did get an offer to consider a CD they were offering. So.
Okay. Did you get a toaster with that? I mean, they don't even give you a toaster anymore. Remember those days? Blenders, toasters. We could use a new toaster.
Green stamps too.
I was going to say, Mike G recommended getting a particular kind of a gel pen. Mm-hmm. What did he say it is? It is it's called a Uniball Signo.
Oh,
so Uniball, one word, and then Signo, Signo.
And if Mike's telling you that's what you should get, that's what you should use. So use that for all your check writing.
Okay. I will get into that. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks, Karen.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, you'd think the bank would tell you, hey, we turned off your account.
I've run into, I shouldn't say the same situation, but something similar where my transactions were being killed.
Oh.
Because they thought I was in another country. But there's no notification.
Right.
The only way I knew is because I knew something was going wrong. And I finally called them and I said, hey, what's up? And they're like, oh, yeah, we thought that those were invalid transactions. So
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I go down to Florida, as you guys know, and my wife and I wanted to do something kind of touristy and stupid, and we've never ridden a horse before, so we went on horses that swim while you're on them. So we both rode a horse for the first time and swam on them for the first time. Very scary. But we did do it, and we needed to get cash because we don't carry any cash. So I go to the bank, 3/5 bank down there, whatever it was. I stick my ATM card in there and eats it. It just takes it away. And they're like, sorry, if our ATM machine does that, there's nothing we can do about it. It's going to be shredded. I call my bank, and they're like, well, you didn't tell us you're going to Florida. I don't have to tell you I'm going to Florida.
Yeah, I mean, when was that a requirement?
I didn't know I had to check in with you, bank. You can't tell me my account's been closed, but you want to know when I'm going on vacation? Yeah. All right, we're going to step out for a quick break, right, Joey? Get to your calls. Mark and Jeff, hang on. We'll be right back.
From the Carter Mario Injury Lawyer Studios, visit GetCarter.com. That's GetCarter.com. This is Computer Talk with Tab.
All right, we are back. We're here till 11 o'clock on this rainy Saturday morning. And hope your bracket's doing well. I know Yale screwed some stuff up there.
Kentucky, too.
Kentucky, oh, what a game. Oh, my goodness. Good for those guys. Who do they play? Who did they lose to? I don't remember who they lost to, but it was a good game.
Oh, I forgot who it was already.
Right. It was fun to watch. And Nebraska, what were you guys doing?
It was Duquesne.
Oh, yeah. Was that the one?
I think.
No. It wasn't Duquesne. Now we're going to look it up. But I hope your bracket's doing well. Hope you're having fun with March Madness. Dennis is going to look that up. Was it Duquesne?
No, it was Oakland. Sorry.
Oakland, there we go. Yeah. But it is a fun time of year. I guess the women are playing today, which is great. Go Huskies. Go UConn. And heck, go Yale. Good for you guys. Let's go to your calls. We're going to go to Mark in Bark Hampstead first. He's been on the longest. What's going on, Mark?
Hi.
Hi.
I was just calling to wonder if you see many people that are buying Windows 11 PCs that can't run Windows, that shouldn't be running Windows 11.
Are we seeing that? So a new PC with 11 on it will work fine.
Yep.
Or it should.
Yeah. But are we seeing people try to upgrade them, the ones that shouldn't? Well, that does happen.
What I'm finding is, especially on eBay, there's a lot of machines being sold that technically shouldn't be able to run Windows 11.
Yeah.
But because there are a lot of well-published workarounds.
There are.
Hacks, et cetera.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are upgrading Windows 7 licenses to 10 and 10 to 11.
Right.
Just moving along. I've had a couple of people contact me, say, all of a sudden stuff's not working quite right. Mm. And I'll tell them, you know, your actual copy of Windows is legitimate, but it's not licensed to run on that machine.
Right.
It's kind of like a catch-22, right?
Yeah, it's Microsoft doing its normal damage to its own brand.
I know.
Well, and the vendors, they see a way to sell a machine for $100 more because it's Windows 11 versus Windows 10. They're going to take advantage of it, right?
You're right. We haven't seen it in the business world only because our customers will go through us. But
business world, they won't buy anything that's more than 3 years old anyway because they want to depreciate on the books and everything else. It's the people that have old PCs now that are saying, oh, wow, I don't want to spend more than $300 on a new PC and go on eBay and say, wow, look at this.
Right.
A nice Windows 11 machine with an i5 and it's only $200.
Well, yeah.
It's a Generation 6, and even though they've got Windows 11 on, it's not licensed.
Well, what I saw about a month ago was a little bit of a scandal, as far as it goes, about future updates of Windows 11, looking for a particular CPU instruction to be available on the computer that it's being loaded on. If it doesn't see that instruction available, it won't allow the install.
Mm-hmm. Well, that actually happened by accident, I think. A while back, people that were running Windows, might have been 10, maybe 11, on Core 2 Duos, which didn't have the SSE2 instructions.
Right,
yeah.
All of a sudden, they were getting these funky errors, and it's because one of the products that Microsoft updated used those instructions, and the machine was going wonky. So even though you can run a registered OS on the machine, doesn't mean it's technically supported, right?
Right. That's the point. And what was kind of scandalous about it, at least in the stories that I read, is that it seemed to be kind of an odd thing for Windows to be looking for on a computer, but it just happens to be a really good marker for the age of this processor.
Right. So, this thing I read on it was that the developer that was working on that toolkit that got released was using a newer version that didn't have all the backward compatibilities they normally do.
Right.
So it might be one of those situations where they weren't really trying to enforce it yet, but it's in the works.
Yep.
Right.
It has to get out in the wild, right?
So,
right.
Yeah, but, and it, apparently it is getting out into the wild now, probably with the next feature update that they do.
Well, every time there's a feature update, you have to go through and do your due diligence because there are things that get deprecated.
Yep.
And, you know, lose your support as is, or you may have to get special support for it.
Yeah. So. No, you're not wrong, Mark. We got to go, but thank you for letting people know.
Yeah, it's very good warning.
Yeah, $1,000 computer is not a $200 computer. All right.
That's
We'll be right back.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
WTIC News Talk 1080. The more you listen, the more you know.
All right, we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab, and we're going to be here till 11 o'clock in a rainy Saturday morning here in Connecticut. So let's go see what Jeff's got cooking down in South Carolina.
Jeff!
Good morning, Jeff.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Good, sir. How are you doing?
I can't complain.
So what's happening down there? What can we do for you?
I heard y'all talking about the brackets and everything. I got a system where you can't lose.
Okay. What do you
what's
do?
What's that?
I'm going with the lady Gamecocks. That's my bracket. I got just them on my bracket. That's it.
Okay.
How do you think they're going to do?
I said they're going to win. They're on my bracket.
That's it? All right. You think they're going to take
it
all? All right. All
that's
right. Sometimes I'm not sure if you're joking or not. Are you serious? You know,
I'm serious with this. Oh, yeah.
All right. Our Lady Husky's going to do some damage. We'll see what happens.
Well, okay. We got a ways to go yet.
Yes, we do.
True.
We'll check in later on.
Okay, the reason I call, do you ever watch HGTV?
I have in the past. It drives my wife nuts because I'm not handy. So even though I watch it, there's nothing I can do with the information. But go ahead. What's up with HGTV?
The reason that I'm calling, you know, when they go into a house and say they want to redesign the house, you know, tear this wall out, tear this out, and they're using a scanner.
Yep.
On that, can you put one of those on an iPhone? Is there a free one that you can put on your iPhone? Download.
Oh yeah. So you want to be able to use the iPhone as a way to tell whether or not the wall can be torn down, or use it as like a something to look through the wall.
Well, so you know, say okay, if I redesign my kitchen, okay, I'll put this here. I'll put the cabinets over here and this over here.
Oh, okay. All right. So to visualize it, to virtualize it. I wouldn't be surprised if Apple didn't, or somebody have an app for the Apple phone that would allow for scanning and getting a virtual view. Dennis is actually looking right now.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. There are apps that will do that. Let's see. There's Houzz, Houzz. There's also something called Home Styler. One word. There's also something called Design Home, two words.
Wow.
And then there's Floor Plan Creator, three words. Mm-hmm. It just goes on and on and on and on.
So what are you looking to remodel, Jeff?
I just want to play with it, you know?
Sure.
Basically, I just want to play with it. It looks like I'm fascinated by how they can move stuff around. Okay, put this here, that there. I just want to play around with it.
All right, because if you show the wife, you know, before you know it, you'll be tearing down walls, and you'll be getting new cabinets before you know it.
Yeah. Well, thanks. I appreciate it.
All right, thanks for checking in.
Have a good day.
Yep, and good luck with your team there.
Okay, and yours too.
Thank you, sir. All right. Jeff checking in from South Carolina. He thinks the Gamecocks are going to take it all. They could.
They could. They've been undefeated so far.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Then again, it could be another dual championship this year for UConn.
Well, let's see.
Third time in history, no other school has ever done it.
Just us, huh?
Yep.
Well, we know how to play basketball up here in Connecticut. That's a good thing.
It's the basketball capital of the world.
Let's go to Cheshire and see what Cheryl's got going on there. Cheryl's in Prospect. I'm not sure why you're in Cheshire in my mind, but that's what came out of my mouth.
I'm right next door to Cheshire. I'm closer to the Cheshire town line than I am other Waterbury.
I sensed it.
Okay. My problem is with my email. I can download all my emails. I have an iCloud account, and I also have my Yahoo account, which I had for years because that came with my internet service, and it still is with my internet service.
Yeah.
I was trying to get rid of, I have so many inboxes and so many trash boxes that I was working on trying to delete some of those extra boxes that I don't need.
Yeah.
And one of the things I had was Smart Mailbox. Everything was going to that. I didn't want that to happen. My iCloud and my Yahoo were all going there. So I totally deleted the Smart Mailboxes.
All right.
And once you do that, you can't get it back. And now, when I go to my emails, I'll look at my inbox. I'll get rid of the ones I don't want to have to look at. And then I'll get rid of them, go to trash, delete them. Then when I go back to the inbox, my emails disappear, and they're in my computer somewhere. I have to try to remember what, I guess it was like the Family Handyman. They always send stuff every day.
Right.
Reader's Digest updates.
Reader's Digest?
Any of those emails and Facebook, if I do a search, they'll come back.
All right. So
otherwise, they won't stay.
What are you trying to say? Are you looking for a better way to manage your email, it sounds like? Because it sounds like your management of your email is a little bit of a mess.
Yeah, my Yahoo account is, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, what are you using right now to read the email? Are you getting it through a web browser or using an application?
I'm using an application. I'm using the...
Which one?
The email app that came with my Mac.
Ah, okay. All right.
Is that a good email client? I never used it.
You know what? It's things like this that drive me nuts, and I won't use it.
Gotcha.
What I use for email on my Mac is Thunderbird.
There you go.
Thunderbird.
It's an email application. It's free.
Right.
It's open source. What I would do is download it and install it.
Okay.
And use that to get to your Yahoo Mail.
Right. So
it'll be a lot cleaner.
And only configure the accounts you want to see.
Right.
Yeah.
Just do the one account and nothing else.
Yeah.
But we can get you a link to download that and install it. When you launch it, it will ask you what email account you've got, and you can put in your password, and it'll try to figure out how to connect to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually pretty good at that. And then once you've done that, you should be good to go.
Well, okay, what happens with all my emails that are stuck in the background of my computer? Would it pick them up or no?
Well, you're going to have to find some way to migrate those.
So the way, or you again set up those accounts within Thunderbird, it'll resync them.
Okay.
Is that unless she's done something different that I'm not aware the Mac does with email, Dennis?
Well, I don't know if she's been using POP3 to connect
and it
downloads the mail to the computer.
I keep thinking everything's IMAP these days.
Well, it may be, and if that's the case, then everything will be there. It'll just be organized better, and you'll have more visibility to it.
Right.
I think what's happened is the smart mailbox setups have kind of caused everything to shift around on her, and that's why she's not finding them easily.
And that's part of Mac's.
And that's mail. Part of the mail app in the Mac.
Gotcha.
And that, I'm telling you, I actually saved some of what's very little is left of my hair by not using it anymore.
Gotcha.
So there you go. Yeah.
So Mac ease of use is not the case here.
Yeah, I'm not going to use, I won't use the app on, you know, I'll just use Thunderbird. But what the good thing is, all of the emails that I get, both Yahoo's and iCloud, I can read on my phone.
Right.
Yeah, then it's all the mail is on the server then.
Yeah.
And it's just a matter of finding a client that will get it and show it to you, which Thunderbird will do.
Yeah.
Check all right.
It. Dennis swears by Thunderbird. He loves
Thunderbird.
It. Yeah, he's a Thunderbird fan.
Oh, definitely.
All right, Cheryl?
Yeah, I'm familiar with it. I've used it okay. in the past. So.
Oh, okay. So I don't need to do the big sell job anymore.
No, I've had it in the past,
okay. Okay. All right.
That's good to know, though. So.
Yeah. All right, Cheryl.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Good luck with it.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
So, yeah, you want to pick a good client, set up your accounts.
Yep.
And then work on unsubscribing to half your email.
That too. Ooh.
Sometimes they listen to you, sometimes they don't. So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Four lines wide open. 860-522-9842 is the number. We'll take a quick break, I guess, right now, and then get back to your calls. This is Computer Talk. Everything we've talked about has been posted over at computertalkwithtab.com by Dennis. He's been doing it here in the studio. And yes, we can say feverishly now. I know it's the four-year anniversary, but yes, feverishly posting this for you. It'll get to there whenever it gets there. And then, of course, if you follow us over on Facebook, if you're part of the Computer Talk with Tab Listener Network and join that group, you'll get the links there as well. If you follow us on X, you'll get the links there as well at Tab Computer Sys. We'll be right back.
When you get to the office, listen to us at WTIC.com. Just turn the volume down when you get on that Zoom call.
Yes, that is the theme for radio. As far as I'm concerned, it's the best song about radio ever written. We're here till 11 o'clock, and then Dr. Alessi will be in with Healthy Rounds. He'll give you a second opinion on your health advice. And thank you all to you guys who joined us this morning so far on this lovely day here in Connecticut. And so four lines wide open, 860-522-9842 is the number. And as we wait for your calls, we do want to talk about some more technology stuff that you might find interesting.
Yeah, I've got a story here about a flaw in a very common hotel entry system that uses proximity readers.
Okay.
You know, in a little card that you just kind of slap up against the door.
Yeah, tap it up against.
And you can unlock your room.
Yeah.
Well, one of these systems has, a sequence of vulnerabilities that can be used that you can then get entry into any hotel room in the building.
Oh, boy.
You can get past anything. All you need to start with is one key card.
Yeah.
From that hotel.
Any card.
That
any
has
single
been,
one.
Yeah. That has been activated.
Yeah.
Because it will have essentially the public key and the cryptographic seed that the whole system depends on.
Okay.
So that then you can create another card that will get past anything, or you can use other devices. But again, it depends on a cascade of vulnerabilities to work.
Gotcha.
So you have to really do your homework in order to make use of it. The way it was announced is that apparently there was a conference in Las Vegas where hackers were invited to come in and try to break into anything in a standard hotel room.
Sure.
And
this, everything, probably.
This particular team managed to, you know, open the doors. And I'm sure other devices were cracked.
Right. Those safes are not very safe.
As part of the overall conference, but that was their demonstration.
Yep.
And it just shows how, you know, if you're not paying attention to security while you're putting stuff together, stuff can get bypassed.
Yeah. I mean, you think about even picking locks and stuff like that, right? I mean, in the old days when we were given hotel room keys.
Right.
You know, I'm sure if you could have a locksmith or somebody pick that lock if he needed to, but it'd be kind of obvious as he's sitting there working on your lock, kind of noisy.
True.
Nowadays, with technology, the convenience of hacking into things is so is so apparent and so easy. But yeah, if you know how the sausage is made, you should be able to figure out how to reverse engineer it. And the thing is that it's probably so stupid in that you've got the, like you said, the base config, the cryptographic key, and then it probably goes up sequentially by room number. So like if you have the base information, you probably just simply add the number of the room at the end of that line and you're in. It could be that simple.
It could be, definitely.
Not that I'm a hacker or anything like that.
No.
No. But I mean, literally some of these programs do it that way. They don't think, and they just think, okay, here's a whole sequence, and then you just got to add the room number, and now it works. All right, let's get to your calls. Jason is on the line. What's going on, Jason?
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
What can we do for you? I have a question on email.
Okay.
Email providers.
Sure.
Currently, I use Cox for my email, and I recently got a note. They're migrating to Yahoo.
Yeah.
Yes.
Handle the email. And I don't like to do business with woke companies like Yahoo. So I was thinking, is Proton, I know you've recommended them in the past. Yeah. Are they still your go-to?
They are.
They are. Yep. Yes.
It's a great third-party email. They're out of Switzerland, so they are working with MIT. But, yeah, make the change. You'll find yourself much more secure. I feel much better running it.
Yeah.
Cool. I don't really want to go with the Yahoo change, so.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
I'll lose my email address that I've had for 25 years, but oh well.
Well, you're gonna. Would you have lost it with Yahoo too? Would you be at Cox still, or would you gonna be at Yahoo?
No, they say that they'll migrate the same email address Cox, but it'll just be run by Yahoo.
Right.
Well, just so you know, there's nothing really lost in losing your email address. And with Proton Mail, you can be Jason, maybe you're at your last name if you want. You could be even cooler. You don't have to be at some third-party company. You could be you. Wouldn't that be neat?
Huh. That would really step it up, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, you just go buy your domain.
Right.
And they're not expensive. And when you set up your account with Proton, they will also lead you through the process of setting up all the different DNS records that you'll need that are attached to that domain, and away you go with your own private domain.
Yep. And, and your username,
your
username with Proton is not your email address.
Right.
So that also makes it more secure. So it's a much better way to secure your life, because most of our stuff is done through email. So.
Right.
Check it out.
Exactly. All right, cool. You have time for one more question?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I'm not on my computer right now, but I think it's Windows 11 on my laptop. And after one Windows update on File Explorer, there was this little button on the upper left-hand corner. I could view the last folders that I've looked at. And not files, but folders. And that button is gone, no matter how far I look or search online to find it. Any thoughts on that?
I haven't used it, never seen that button. Dennis is
I'm
trying
checking
to figure
it
out.
I know what you're talking about.
Oh, you do?
But I'm trying to find out if it is something that's maybe that gets lost because of an update. Let's see what
it's
I can find out.
Hidden feature.
Yeah, I use it all the time because each customer had its own folder. And as I was going between folders, between customers and vendors, and I could just look at the last six folders I looked at and go back to it. And
according to Microsoft, that is the quick access section of the Explorer. Go up to the View tab in Explorer, look in Options. Mm-hmm. And there might be something in there that says show recently used files in quick access. And that might be checked off or something like that. It could be as simple as something that got unchecked on you.
And we'll try to find, Mike G will try to find an article for you and post it as well, okay, Jason?
Yeah. And again, it's not the files. There's a list of files, but it's the folders that I want to.
Well, that's
the button that would show the folders.
Yeah, that's what it does. It shows folders.
It's in there, too.
Yep.
We'll put a link up there for you, Jason, but we're running out of time.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Hey, thank you for calling. I want to thank everybody for calling on this Saturday morning. I want to thank Mike G for posting everything. I want to thank Joey Burgoyne for our production today. And anything else you want to say, Dennis?
I wanted to say we want you to be geeks, too.
We will see you next Saturday.
Every OS still sucks.
Oh, yeah.